up, Sooner Nation? Welcome to the SI Sooners podcast. Listen, softball is over. Okay? We got no national championships to talk about this week. Well, not any current national championships. We may be talking about one or more in the next few years. Ryan, I'm probably being a little exuberant there about recruiting, but I'm just saying, you look at the names that are coming to this Champion Barbecue, Lincoln Riley might be laying the groundwork for it as we speak.
Yeah, John, I was talking to you before we started recording. I've got this notepad right here beside me because there are that many names. And guys, let me tell you, it's not just, hey, star this guy. You're looking down. It's the who's who of college football recruiting, and they're all in Norman this weekend.
Busy weekend for the Sooners. That's Ryan Chapman. He's in Norman. I'm John Hoover. I'm in Tulsa. Ryan has finished his incredible coverage of Paddy Gasso and the Sooner softball team, and he's been cruising around the 405 ever since in his brand new car. Ryan, I can't remember what you got. Was it a Lambo? Was it a Bugatti? Was it a Ferrari? Or did you go American and buy a new Corvette?
Yeah, I got one of each, John. One of each. one for every day of the week.
Seriously, the man got a new car. Let's all stand up and salute Ryan Chapman. Anyway, appreciate you guys listening to the SI Sooners podcast, and always thanks for watching on my YouTube channel. SI Sooners is a Fan Nation affiliate, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. You know our website. It's allsooners.com. Okay, you've been hearing about it. You've been reading about it. It's been out there for a long time, actually, but the day has finally arrived. It is the Champ U Barbecue. Norman is currently, I'm telling you, crawling with Sooners, with future Sooners, with potential Sooners, with a few wannabe Sooners. Ryan, what's the number? Something like 25 guys from the 22 class are taking either an official visit or an unofficial visit. And then something like 17, 18, 19 guys from the 23 class are all on, of course, unofficial visits. Now, a few of these guys are already committed to OU, like the two guys that I wrote about this week, Kobe McKenzie, the linebacker from Lubbock, and Jaden Rowe, the cornerback. I said cornerback from Tulsa Union. Kobe told me he came to Norman for his camp, his freshman year, and he hasn't been able to see the coaches face-to-face since then. Ugh. And Jaden told me he's going to shake hands with his position coach, Roy Manning, for the very first time. I would encourage you guys to read about both of those guys, future Sooners, at allsooners.com. The stories are posted right there on either the front page, or just scroll down or click on the football tab. Lots of good stuff in there, including Kobe telling me that OU, I thought this was great. He totally came up with this himself. I swear I didn't direct him or goad him into it. He said OU's like a Mercedes, and just about every other program is like a minivan. I thought that was hilarious. Anyway, Ryan, let's get into some of these names. It's a big list. We try to hold the pod to 30 or 40 minutes, give you nice little digestible bites, but that ain't enough time to get into all of these names. But the one I'm most interested in, Brandon Innes. He's a consensus kind of five-star receiver, number one wide out in the 23 class. Ryan, is he coming to Oklahoma?
Well, he'll be here in Norman this weekend. I don't know what that'll mean as far as being in Oklahoma in Crimson and Cream here in 2 or 3 years, but John, there are a ton of wide receivers in this week, and right now, I know that Oklahoma just took the hit as far as Jordan Hudson, the 2022 wide receiver, decommitting, but Oklahoma's been on an absolute tear. They've got a shot with any wide receiver in the country. And not to mention, you bring in a guy as well. We're going to get to him in a minute, I know. But when you bring in a quarterback like Malachi Nelson, you try and have that Caleb Williams, that Spencer Rattler effect, where everyone, it gets on the same page, gets juiced, and gets ready to roll. Like, John, I think Oklahoma's got as good a shot as anyone. But here's the deal. When you've got those elite guys like that, when they're not just from your own backyard, it is an uphill battle to climb, getting those guys all the way to Big 12 country. But if everything stood still today, right now, I think the Sooners would have a great shot, John.
Yeah, you're right. Malachi Nelson is the big one that everyone wants to know about. And truthfully, if you try keep up with this stuff at all, it doesn't appear that there's any really big secret. He hasn't announced where he's going. He hasn't committed. But I think we all know Oklahoma is probably in the lead, we could say, at this point. It's not a secret. Unless he's one of those guys that just plays around and likes to pull a fast one. But Malachi Nelson, he's in town this weekend. Oh, and Oklahoma, don't sell him short just because, you know, Lincoln Riley's got this track record going and every other year he gets the number one quarterback. Don't assume. Oklahoma wants to make a good first impression this week on Malachi Nelson, but, you know, like, what would be a good first impression? Would it, don't burn the brisket, don't overcook the beans, don't anybody push him in the pool, you know, don't smash his foot with a croquet mallet. You know, that's a good impression if you can avoid those things. Ryan, I don't think there's any doubt at this point he's coming to Oklahoma. Is there?
It's hard to see for now. This is a guy that he's already set his commitment date, right, for the middle of July. I believe it's July 18th. Hopefully I'm not getting my wires crossed here, John. Yep. But to me, that says, you know, it, like, when you set your commitment date, if you don't know where you're committing but you set your date, that's the recipe for some of these weird recruitments that are twisting and turning with tons of decommit stuff like that. Usually that's not what you see out of quarterbacks, though. And for him to have already said it, for him to be coming into Norman this weekend, and to just kind of see, you know, there's been a push by Clemson for Arch Manning. Everyone kind of thought that it was OU and Clemson for a bit with Malachi Nelson. So if you want to try to read all those tea leaves, John, it really does feel like I'm coming into Norman, doing my last little check all the boxes, and it'll be party time in July. But, you know, recruiting, everything changes like the wind in recruiting, so you don't want to put anything definite out there, but it really feels like Oklahoma Malachi Nelson are a match made in heaven. Look, he was out there wearing OU shorts for the Elite 11 LA Regionals, so that tells you, yeah, he's uncommitted, but if he's doing all of his workouts in OU shorts already, you have to feel good if you're the Sooners.
What about Caden Helms? He's a 2022 tight end from Nebraska. He's a three-star right now, but he's literally kind of come out of nowhere, really blowing up. I saw him here in Broken Arrow this spring. He was incredible.
Yeah, and John, I think that this is showing you that tight end coach Joe John Finley, he might know what he's doing. You look back to the first commit that Joe John Finley got in Jason Llewellyn. He's a guy out of Aledo that everyone goes, okay, he's a violent blocker on the line of scrimmage. He's athletic. He can catch balls in the open field. This guy's going to blow up, right? Well, he commits to the Sooners. Lo and behold, you go through the camp circuit, things like that. Magically, some places have started to upgrade him to a four-star. I think you're going to see a very similar thing here with Caden. He's another one of those guys, John. It's interesting. There, it's not necessarily your Mark Andrews, Austin Stogner, as far as just massive, massive bodied receivers. They definitely look more like tight ends. Maybe that's going to be what Joe John Finley goes for, but they've still got every ounce of athleticism that you would expect out of a skill position player at Oklahoma. And he's another one of those guys that we're looking at really closely of. It feels like, if you're going to get a guy on the heels of the barbecue that's going to sign a board and say, I'm verbally committed to the Sooners, Helms definitely feels like one of those guys that would be a candidate to hop on sooner rather than later.
Yeah, now you just got off the phone with another tight end, Luke Haas from Bixby. This kid, he's the number one tight end in the 2023 class. And, again, I watched him up here in Broken Arrow at a 7-on-7, interviewed him, sounded like he liked Oklahoma a lot. But that thing has almost taken on a life of its own, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked to him up there. I just talked to his parents. And great conversation basically about how June opens, the dead period expires. And this is a guy that in June of last year was prepping to enter his first football season since basically grade school. And now, June of this year, he's on the road taking visits at Ohio State, at LSU, at Alabama. Obviously familiar with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. They're going to Arkansas next week if everything goes according to plan. And he has been upgraded to the number one tight end in the country, depending on where you look. So it's been a whirlwind for Luke Haas and his family. But what you kind of get that vibe is a guy we've talked about, Joe John Finley, sitting down with Luke for 45 minutes during their visit earlier this past week and just breaking down all the film, saying this is exactly what we like to do as an offense, and this is exactly where you're going to fit into this. You're going to go right here. You're going to do this, this, and that. And just being able to matter of fact work through it. You know, they kind of talked about how they feel like Joe John Finley's coaching style, not his rah-rah, I'm going to yell at you, but I'm just going to, hey, I'm going to work you through it, teach you what all to do. That really vibes with Luke as well. And obviously, anytime you're visiting the same spot two times within 7 days, that's a good sign. Now, this race is far from run. He's a guy that has really blown up. He's still just getting tons of offers flowing in, but as of right now, the Sooners are doing everything that they need to do. It's an Oklahoma kid. That'll probably help. It usually does in the end. But pretty cool for the state of Oklahoma that you've got one of the premier skill position players in the country right here in our own backyard, John, and that people across the country aren't just poo-pooing the thought of Oklahoma high school football, but they're saying, hey, look at that guy. He's legit. He's not just good at Oklahoma. He's going to be good for anyone across the country. So it's been a whirlwind of a month there, month and a half for the Haas family. Really interested to see what happens there as his recruitment continues to play out. And he's a 2023 kid, so like we said, plenty of time.
If you're looking for that story, looking for more on that story, it's going to be at allsooners.com. Ryan's going to do a bang-up job with that. Ryan, before we get into all the offensive linemen that are coming into this thing, I want to ask you about Jake Taylor, the big O lineman from Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. He's a priority. He's been down to OU, Notre Dame, and Alabama for a while now, and I'm hearing that he likes all of them about the same. He told me Notre Dame puts more guys in the league. And he told me that Alabama, of course, wins national championships, and he just kind of likes everything about Oklahoma. He's here with his teammate, Zion Branch, the big safety. Ryan, I was told that Zion Branch, let me backtrack, Zion Branch wasn't really high on OU. He was like in on OU big time and then backed off of him, and I was told he's not interested at all. And now he's here for the Champ U barbecue. I was told he's going to head west, but now he's looking into Oklahoma. What's the latest on those two guys, the Bishop Gorman teammates?
Yeah, and they're going to be linking up with I wonder, John, if it could be beneficial to have anyone on staff that has a foot in the door at Bishop Gorman, like maybe DeMarco Murray, who can greet them as soon as they get there and say, hey, you're probably our most famous, most successful NFL alum of the last couple of years. But yeah, it's a big weekend for that. It's a big weekend for all the offensive linemen coming in, like you mentioned. But this is OU's shot. This is OU's chance, with Taylor especially, to come in and basically say, look, we are here. You can see everything about the campus. The great part about the barbecue, too, is that it's different than your normal recruiting weekend, right, John? During a season where coaches are having to game plan, prepare for a game, the game's the most important thing, then we can get to recruiting after that. No, the coach is going to be able to welcome everyone in, super relaxed, all that stuff. And I feel like this is the perfect situation for them to close on a guy like Jake Taylor, where you're saying, hey, this is what we are. This is the family atmosphere at Oklahoma. And this good feeling, how much fun we're having, this could be you and your teammates every day here in Norman. I think that could go a long way. It's gone a long ways in the past, and there's no substitute for having all those guys in one spot on campus. That's something that Alabama and Notre Dame, can they recreate that? Absolutely. They're big football powers as well, but will they? Are they going to have a recruiting weekend with Taylor in where they've got, you know, 40 other dudes of this caliber? Who knows? We'll see, and we'll see what kind of impact that makes on a guy like Taylor and Branch.
What's the latest you're hearing on Ish Harris, the linebacker out of Texas?
Yeah, it really feels like this one continues to be Sooners, the Aggies, with, you know, a little bit of Longhorn interest. Oklahoma very excited to have him up. He's a guy that I know that this defense would love to have him, as far as his athleticism, his ranginess, his ability to get from sideline to sideline. A big weekend to have Ish Harris up, just because I believe, can't remember if he was in for the spring game or not. I'm racking my brain right now, John, but it's one of the few chances they've had really since coming in and getting super involved with him, for him to come up and have that face-to-face meeting with everyone involved. And every time we hear anyone talk to Alex Grinch or Brian Odom, we always come away with the same thing we hear from the offensive staff, which is why the offense has recruited so well over the last couple of years. We always come away with this, wow, just love talking to those guys, their passion for the game, and their know-how. They know exactly how they want me to fit into this team. It'll be interesting to see when we touch base with him, to see if he got that experience this weekend, because just like Taylor, just like Branch, it's a big, big weekend to have him in Norman and try to make that huge, huge impression as far as what Oklahoma can be, what Oklahoma can do, and especially if one or two of these rumored former Sooner stars is going to be back in. you might have some guys that have sat just in his shoes in that linebacker room as well. We'll have to wait and see, though. Get double, triple confirmation that some of those guys are actually there to try and be the big blowout for Ish Harris.
I mentioned Jaden Rowe earlier, who told me, yes, I get it. I'm 6'3", I'm 210. My body would indicate that I might be an outside linebacker. But he is adamant that he is a cornerback, wants to play cornerback, wants to be a cornerback at OU. But there's another corner in town this week that that OU is really high on as well, Austin Jordan. What do you know about him? Like Oklahoma's chances of getting him? He's on campus for the barbecue. You like the Sooners' chances of landing him?
I like where the Sooners are positioned here, especially because he's a guy, first off, a former teammate of Billy Bowman. So you've already got that inside track there, John, as far as he's got an eyes and ears into the program already. Anything he wants to know, I'm sure Billy Bowman, just a call or a text away. But you talk about a guy, much like Taylor, he's already narrowed it down. Texas, Ohio State, Oklahoma. And not only that, he's been on campus at Texas, on campus at Ohio State. Now he's going to be on campus at Oklahoma. Boom, 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 back to back to back weekends. And OU's in that closing spot here. So the Sooners are going to get their chance if you know, they felt good about Jordan. Maybe he was wild on other campuses. OU's going to have the last word as far as in-person, on-campus stuff officially here for the month of June. And anytime you're in that position, John, I just love being able to be that last impression, especially with what this is. Because the Champion Barbecue, it is a unique event. You talked about all the hubbub about, you know, the Sooner Summit, stuff like that. Well, that was trying to replace what the Champion Barbecue can do. And when you've got all the bells and whistles, and it sounds like, just from my conversations with the Haas family, everything that the Oklahoma has been prepping, that they saw being prepped this weekend, there's going to be quite the show rolled out for Austin Jordan, a guy like that, to try to add to the Sooner secondary and make sure that you keep that talent at Oklahoma and not headed to Ohio State.
That's a really great point, because Lincoln Riley and Roy Manning like to fashion themselves as closers on some of these guys, so we'll see if they can close on Austin Jordan. I'm expecting a handful of commitments this weekend, maybe two. I would say for sure two, maybe three, possibly even four. Any more than that, and you start kind of fluffing around the edges of not a real commitment. We'll see. Coming up next on the SI Sooners podcast, we got even more on the Champion Barbecue. Hey, you guys, summer is here, the heat is on, and your air conditioning unit is going to be working overtime to keep you cool. But the guys at Trade Pros in Oklahoma City have got you covered. If you are worried about your AC getting you through this summer, just call Trade Pros. Get one of their no-hassle service plans, and they're going to come out twice a year and tune up your AC and your furnace, and you're going to get priority scheduling and discounts. Just call Chris at Trade Pros, 405-316-0598, or go to tradeprosokc.com. Hey, are you a business owner looking to get your product out there to the masses? Let's say you run a hotel in Norman, or a car dealership in Oklahoma City, or a restaurant in Edmond, or maybe you're a small online business who creates and sells OU merchandise, and you just want Sooner Nation to come sample your wares. Well, then consider advertising in this space right here on the SI Sooners podcast. SI Sooners reaches thousands of readers, viewers, and listeners literally every day, and the SI Sooners podcast is the ideal place to find your next customer. To advertise, send an email to allsoonerssi@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at @all_Sooners. If you're on the Twitters, you can follow SI Sooners at @all_Sooners. Ryan is at Radios Ryan, and I'm at John E. Hoover. Our website is allsooners.com. We are a Fan Nation affiliate, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. Remember, we got big news coming next week. You're not going to want to miss it. Quick pitch time. I wrote a story on the website today that I've written before for my readers at the Tulsa World, and I've written it before for my readers at the franchise. Well, I took the liberties to write it again because I have a new audience now for my readers at SI Sooners. This week's edition of our Heisman Memories series was on Steve Owens, and it's literally one of my favorite stories in all of sports history, really, that I've gotten to write about. And that's why I've written it three different times, three different versions of it. So here's how it works out. I'll give you the kind of Cliff Notes version. Steve picked up the Heisman on a Thursday night 1969, New York City, downtown athletic club, right? Then the next night, he's on the Johnny Carson show, the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. He's sitting there in the green room. He's waiting for a segment. He's being all quiet and respectful, you know, like a kid from Miami, Oklahoma would. And in comes this huge group of people. They're all loud. They're all talking over each other. But there's a quiet one kind of in the middle of the group, sits next to Steve Owens. It's Muhammad Ali. You know, no big deal. A few minutes later, Charlton Heston walks in. Moses himself, Steve tells me, the leading man in Hollywood at the time, he sits on the other side of Steve. And these two superstars, like worldwide iconic superstars of human beings, right? They have no idea whatsoever who this little country bumpkin is sitting in between them, and they don't really care because they've got these busy superstar icon lives, right? But then someone walks in the room, the green room, and says, Mr. Owens, Mr. Steve Owens, you have a phone call? It's the White House. The president wants to speak with you. And Muhammad Ali and Charlton Heston are like, well, who the hell is this kid? And so Steve and his wife, it's awesome, awesome story, drive down to Washington, D.C. the next day, and God is my witness, Richard Nixon flies them on Air Force One to Fayetteville, Arkansas, because Richard Nixon loved him some college football. So they go watch the Texas-Arkansas game of the century, number one versus number two for the Southwest Conference Championship, and Texas goes on to play for and win the national championship. Unbelievable. Steve Owens, Sooner legend, is hanging out with Tricky Dick. Such a great story. Anyway, there's a ton more details and some quotes from Steve and in that story. And if you know Steve at all, that, you know, how he got home from Fayetteville is no surprise whatsoever. I leave that one on the doorstep. You have to click on the story and read it. Nixon kind of hung him out to dry. So anyway, check that out. AllSooners.com. One of many, many stories we have posted over the last few days. Ryan, let's get back to the barbecue. We have talked about Jake Taylor. I'm pretty sure Demetrius Pancake Hunter is here, although I don't know if Lincoln Riley is flipping pancakes specifically for Demetrius Hunter, but he's already committed. Are there any other offensive linemen in this group? I'm wondering, because I've heard that offensive linemen can flat out eat, and, you know, the head coach obviously is going to be busy on the grill. Bunch of guys in this group that are going to be blocking for the Sooners hope. The coaching staff, I should say, hopes. Tell us about some of those guys.
Yeah, for sure. And this is where you're going to have to forgive me. I don't want to miss anyone. So if I'm looking down again, these names, there are so many of them. Malik Agbo, the first one, big-time recruit coming in. That's someone that the Sooners really hope to land. You've got Dane Shore coming in from plucking him out of SEC country to come on in for a little bit of a visit. That would be a big-time one as well. You've got Devon Campbell, Cameron Williams. Both of those guys are in. You've got Cole Hudson. He's in. You could field an offensive line just off those guys, put Pancake Hunter there in the middle to be the center, and you're going to feel really good about your chances to send not just one, not two, but a bunch of those guys to the league and move a bunch of bodies. So this is one of those scenarios where I know that a lot of those guys, right now, if you had to project, I don't know how many of them OU would be the number one finishing school, but they might be number two to a ton. So this is where you got to get those guys in, get them around Bill Beedenbo, get them around each other, and you can start to build that fabric of weave the tapestry of look what you guys could all do coming in here. Look what we've done as a university. That's what Bill Beedenbo's going to pitch is, you know, you got the Joe Moore Award. You've got offensive linemen in the league, left, right, center. You're going to talk to Creed Humphrey. Boom, Kansas City Chief, probably going to be the starting center. That guy was starting for us 1 year ago. That's an easy pitch. It sells itself. Then you tell these guys you can all come in together, and it's not like you're going to be the star on a bad offensive line. You can all go to the first round together. That's what OU can do for you. So getting all those guys in, it's going to be another one of those scenarios where this is another chance for the Sooners to roll out the red carpet. I know I keep saying that, but this is what this weekend is. This is moving day for all of you golf fans for the Sooners of move all the way up some of the big boards of these guys and show why Oklahoma shouldn't just be, oh yeah, I'm glad I visited there. They're a great backup if something falls through. Why Oklahoma should be your priority number one and where you end up committing.
Yeah, I think Malik Agbo is another guy, I think, out of Washington. He's high on the recruiting lists if you're into those rankings. And then George Fitzpatrick is a guy out of Colorado. I think he's a consensus four-star. But if you look, that's in the 22 class. And if you look ahead to 23, Caden Green out of Missouri. He's a, I think, a Rivals 100 guy, for instance. Luke Montgomery out of Ohio. He's a Rivals 100 guy. Listen, Lincoln better have brought enough meat and potatoes for that crew. Not just the 22s, Ryan, but the 23s as well. What about the defensive line? I did a podcast yesterday, Ryan, and the guy asked me, I wish I could remember his name. He asked me about how Oklahoma rebuilt the defense so quick. And I said, number one, Alex Grinch. And number two, the defensive line has gotten that much better that fast. The defensive linemen that are in Norman this weekend or are on their way to Norman are unbelievably impressive, Ryan.
Yeah, and the first one that I think we have to start with here is the big man out of Duncanville, Omari Abor. This has been one of OU's top guys. You keep hearing if OU gets exactly what they want, an Omari Abor and a Gabe Dindy will be two guys that are pinned to this Oklahoma defensive line for years to come. While Gabe Dindy's not coming in for the barbecue, at least not at last time we heard, Omari Abor will be in. So he's a big-time guy. He is a bona fide top 100, top everything defensive lineman. He's that guy that you talk about. You know, if OU really wants to take the next step, they need to get that five-star talent across the defensive line. Yeah, that's Omari Abor. The Sooners will have to feel like they're in a good spot with him already, but bringing him in, even better. That's what they'll want. And then another name to watch coming on in, Mr. Moore, Derek Moore coming in. He's another guy that everyone's been looking at closely. He's made some noise just as far as what he's done as far as a defensive lineman, his ability to penetrate as his tape's kind of gotten out more and more as he's been to camps. You can see why everyone's so excited about him. So Omari Abor and Derek Moore, those are the big two names. Those are the first two names, and that's where I think you have to start and end the conversation. But like with everything, John, the cup overfloweth this weekend.
Absolutely, and I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something from Derek Moore about how much he liked his time in Norman. I know the coaches are big time in love with this kid. He's got a frame that looks right now like it's ready for college football. He doesn't have a lot of that muscle building kind of growth that a young freshman coming in. He looks like he's ready to play college football right now. I think there was another one, Nico Duvalier, did I say that name right, from Arkansas? He's a four-star guy. Kenyatta Jackson from Florida, I saw his tweet recently. He's a big-timer. And then Jaden Scarlett from Flower Mound, he's another one that is just, if you watch his tape, you're like, wait a minute, this kid's in high school? There's a couple of 23, Shandavian Bradley from Missouri, David Hicks from Allen, Texas. And then, of course, the big one, Labius Overton, big-time five-star out of Georgia. Man, if Overton, I'm just saying this, if OU gets Overton and maybe one of those other guys, to put it this way, if they get two guys in each class and they're able to get one of those just big-timers like Overton, this team might be winning national titles in the very near future, Ryan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, John, because like you said, the difference has been Alex Grinch, first off, has been working with guys on campus that he didn't necessarily handpick to come on in. So that's the first feather in any of these guys' caps, is that Alex Grinch wants him, Calvin Thibodeau wants him, all that stuff. But it shouldn't be a 2-3 year process of, we need to get you into the program, get you into the strength side of things, then we'll rebuild your technique, stuff like that. No. Think a guy like Ronnie Perkins. He came in and he was immediately able to make an impact in the limited time he got as a freshman. That only grew. You would be restocking the cupboards with guys like that. It doesn't take forever for them to come in and be an impact guy. So you're starting to think, okay, what's this defensive line going to look like? It already has this kind of depth. But if you can continue to roll it over and you've got a two deep of guys that look like that before you even get to get your hands on them, start to mold those guys, that's the difference in what a really good defense and an elite defense. That's what Alabama's been able to do, John. They have those guys 2-3 deep. Nick Saban turns around and he bumps into another one they didn't even know was on the team. Like that's the kind of depth that you're having to compete with in college football. And if you start bringing those guys in, if Alex Grinch hangs around and continues to do this, the sky's the limit for Oklahoma. We already know they can set records on offense. You pair an elite defense with that, and they go from oh, look, little old Oklahoma that can't win a playoff game. I don't know who wants to match up with that team.
Yeah, Nick Saban found the formula. The more five stars you get, the more five stars you get. And also, Alex Grinch is the reason why you pay your defensive coordinator $1.8 million a year because of the job he's doing. Up next on the SI Sooners podcast, more news from the transfer portal in three sports.
Support for the SI Sooners podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped gives you the tools to get the job done quickly, safely, and hygienically. Guys, you're going to need to hustle on this one. Father's Day is next weekend, so Manscaped has sold out of the Ultra Smooth package, I'm told. So I'm going to need to recommend that you buy him the Performance Package 4.0, and I'm going to recommend that you do it now. Hey, if you want to guarantee Dad is going to be happy with his Father's Day gift this year, I'm telling you guys, go to Manscaped, manscaped.com, and order the Lawnmower 4.0 and the Performance Package. Now, the Performance Package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Also includes the Weed Whacker. That's the one for your ears and nose as well, right? You also get the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver, the awesome Manscaped Boxer Briefs, my personal favorite, and the Shed Travel Bag. Get your groom on with Manscaped and use the promo code SOON for 20% off plus free shipping. Just enter the promo code SOON, that's S-O-O-N, at checkout when you order from manscaped.com. Final segment of the SI Sooners podcast. Ryan, a bit of advice. Don't ever turn your back on the transfer portal. We got news this week in three different sports. We'll lead off with football. One, Kevontre Bradford, a.k.a. Trey Bradford. He is a running back, and he is coming to Oklahoma, and he is from Lancaster, Texas, and he played last year at LSU. I told the people last week that he was probably on his way. You know, he had to dot a few I's and cross a few T's, but his name popped up in the OU student directory last Friday morning, I think it was. He got his business handled, everything transferred over correctly because the OU compliance department made sure of it. And boom, he's a Sooner. Men's basketball got some portal news this week as well. Let's back up before we get into basketball. What are your thoughts on Bradford, Trey Bradford?
Yeah, this is a guy, he didn't get a ton of look last year for a few different reasons at LSU, but that to me doesn't have me worried at all because of the role that he's supposed to come in and play at Oklahoma. If everything goes to plan, you've got Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray. That's going to be your 1-2 punch. Those are going to be the guys that are carrying the lion's share. So you're bringing in an incredibly talented guy and basically telling him, all right, we're going to give you certain looks, certain situations to go out there and prove to us why you should get some more carries, why you should get more looks in the throw game. So I think it's the perfect situation. You're bringing in super talented depth. Never a bad thing. We just talked about that as far as recruiting and the barbecue goes. And it's one of those situations that if it doesn't pan out, which I think it will pan out, you've got a very talented guy that can be some backup. This is a running back room that's been depleted the last 2 or 3 years by the end of the season. If it works out, you've got another superstar playmaker caliber type guy pushing for carries. That kind of competition's only a great thing. So I think this is a win-win scenario for the Sooners. It's a good landing spot for Bradford, and I think you should take number 14.
The transfer portal is going to keep guys like you and me in business. It's like the funeral home business, man. There's never going to be a shortage of bodies. There's never going to be a shortage of transfers looking for greener pastures in college sports. And so that we transition to basketball. Men's basketball got some portal news, official portal news this week. Now, a couple weeks back, Marvin Johnson tweeted that he was 100% committed to Oklahoma. He played a couple years at Eastern Illinois, played a couple years at junior college. He's from Ardmore. He played at Edmond North in high school, won a state championship, which Porter Moser said, I love guys that win state championships. Well, the OU compliance department, once again, took its time and made sure that everything was kosher, and now he is a Sooner. Ryan, kid 6'6", 190 pounds. We've talked about him before. He's a Swiss Army knife kind of player. He shoots a little, plays a little defense. He slashes to the basket. He's very versatile on defense. He can guard, I think, pretty much anybody on the floor, 1 through 5. You like his game, I assume?
Yeah, and this is exactly the kind of guy that we've come to expect out of Porter Moser. It'll be interesting to see if this continues to be what Moser brings in when he's actually recruiting guys out of high school, or if it's just a result of the portal. But it ticks all the boxes, like you said. Porter Moser loves him some local flavor. He loves him an Oklahoma kid that wants to come in. Porter Moser said that he feels like they give that little bit more, can dig that little bit deeper. Boom, you got that. Athletic and versatile. That's a must. The way that Porter Moser wants to play defense, easy buckets in transition on the back of good defense. Check that box. Boom. Winning heritage. You covered it. Edmund North. Championships. Boom. Like, it seems like the perfect quintessential Porter Moser transfer portal edition, if we can call it that, for a guy that hasn't coached a game yet for the Sooners.
Yeah, and he was a winner in junior college, too. I mean, he's got a good pedigree. And when you put him in the mix with all the new guys, I mean, that's a lot. We've talked about it before. It's an eclectic collection of players, all with a lot of very versatile skills. Everybody's kind of shows some versatility, but there's also some guys that are very specific in what they do, and they're going to play a role. So I can't wait to see how they mesh with, you know, Mo Gibson and Elijah Harkless and guys like that. Another transfer portal subtraction, I guess, Rick Isanza has left the program. So didn't play much, but he get in a handful of games last year. 7 foot tall. I don't know what his upside was at Oklahoma to begin with under Lon Kruger. And I sure don't know what his upside would have been if he had stayed and played for Porter Moser. I'm not sure Porter has wants to play a game with a 7 footer back to the basket kind of guy. Is that probably fair assessment?
Yeah, probably. It seems like, too, you know, Lon Kruger had a very specific big, John. And it looks a lot like the modern big of the NBA is very tall, kind of lanky, gangly at times, and has that length to contest shots, things like that. Think of Kadeem Latin, Kerr Queth. I think that Porter Moser kind of wants to go a different way. He's more concerned, like you said, about obviously you got to be able to rebound and defend, but can you get away from the basket a little bit more? Can you spot up? Can you stretch the floor when the team needs it? I think that's more the direction that Porter Moser is going to go. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Isanza. I mean, obviously, not announcing a destination yet. That means that I guess he can always come back in. It'll be interesting to see what everything happens there. But I think that Porter Moser's kind of got his guys. It'll be interesting to see how you fit all those guys into playing time on the floor. But when you're having to turn over an entire roster, fitting the puzzle pieces together is going to be a journey for us all.
And then just when you thought you were out of softball season, they pull you back in. First, through the indoor, Oklahoma landed a pitcher from the transfer portal today, just today, literally about a half hour ago, Oklahoma announced Hope Troutwine. All right. Now, I looked up about 5 different resources how to say her name, and I couldn't find a pronunciation guide. Memo to the North Texas Softball SID, pronunciation guides rock for us broadcasters. Hope Troutwine is what we're going with. She is a 2-time all-conference Conference USA pitcher at North Texas. She's the career leader for them in earned run average, wins, opponent's batting average, and a couple other things. She's from Pflugerville, Texas. She's 5'11", and last year she threw a perfect game against Arkansas Pine Bluff. But Ryan, more than perfect, how do you get better than perfect? She struck out every batter she faced, 21 out of 21, and I've never seen that before. You know why? Because it's never been done in Division I softball. True story, Ryan. I told you this on a text. When I saw that on SportsCenter and I said, holy crap, this girl just struck out 21 out of 21, 7 innings, 3 up, 3 down, good morning, good afternoon, good night, 7 times in a row. The next day, right, I'm watching that on SportsCenter. My first thought, again, hand to God, I wonder if she'd transfer to OU next year. That's exactly what I thought. No G Juarez, no Sale coming back. You know, hey, they got a spot for her. And a few months later, here she is. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and John, you have to like, too, not only is she coming to OU, she's coming to a place that has a fantastic track record as of late as far as bringing in transfer portal pitchers and elevating them even well beyond what they had. You think all the way back to Lowry and the shift when you had the 2 pages, then obviously both Juarez and Sale off of this team did not start their collegiate career at Oklahoma. Patty Gasso and Jen Rocha, they've kind of figured out, they know exactly what they want to do when they're building their staff. They get who they can get. You think you have a stud in the making in Nicole May. She's young. I know she kind of struggled a little bit against UCLA, but keep in mind that's a freshman rolling out there. She was electric through the month of May. You've got the number one pitcher in the country coming in your next recruiting class. Well, you need a veteran to throw in there, so why not just, you know, the only pitcher to ever strike out 21 straight batters straight up, straight down in a perfect game? Like, that seems like a good mix to me. And when you've got Patty Gasso, you got Jen Rocha, look, if they're going to sign off on it, we are well beyond the point of us standing here and saying anything other than, well, if it's good enough for Patty Gasso and it's good enough for Rocha, I think it's good enough for me. So I think OU softball, predictably, is in good hands returning their entire lineup, save Nicole Mendez and Giselle Juarez and Shannon Sam.
The transfer portal is a revolving door. So on their way out, that's one coming in. On their way out is a handful of players. Joey Helmer from OU Insider reported last night that four softball players had entered the transfer portal. It was four bench players, four backups, however you want to label it, two pitchers, Olivia Raines and Brooke Vestal, and two field players, Paige Knight and Kinsey Keltzow. Vestal and Raines were the number four and number five pitchers for the Sooners this year, pretty much behind the big three. Knight was a freshman and didn't get to play very much, and then Keltzow was mainly a pinch runner, although she got to hit some, and she did play in the College World Series, as did Raines, pitched an inning. So I think only three, if you count up the whole roster, only three of the frontline players who played this year are gone next year. We mentioned two of them, Giselle Juarez and Shannon Sale, and then in the field, Nicole Mendez, she's in the outfield. Everybody else is back. So it makes sense, Ryan, that your backup players would look around and say, huh, everybody's coming back. I sat the bench the whole year. I think there's some greener pastures somewhere else. I mean, they're not going to win a national championship at those places. Like, that's my official 2022 softball prediction, by the way. Oklahoma's going to win the national championship again. But no, have you seen the recruiting class for next year? Good Lord. Patty Gasso has already signed seven players. Get this, Ryan. All seven of the newcomers are all ranked in the top 22 nationally by Extra Inning Softball and or Softball America. That includes the number one player in the country, Jordan Ball, the number three player in the country, Sophia Nugent, and the number three or five player in the country, Quincy Lilo. Number five, I think she is. Turia Coleman is another one, top three catcher in the country. In the country, Ryan. So, if you want to play softball at Oklahoma, it's going to be kind of, you know, difficult.
Well, yeah, and we've seen, too, look no further than the team this year. If Jocelyn Allo wasn't doing Jocelyn Allo things, the story of the season would have been that, oh, my God, Tiare Jennings is, like, within five home runs of her. As a true freshman coming in, you've got Jada Coleman, you know, just an energy jolt into anyone's day. She jumps off the screen, not only with her production, but her energy. You saw how big she was for the Sooners there in that closing, clinching, decisive game three of the championship series. So these are the caliber of freshmen that the Sooners are bringing in. You got your normal class coming in. It just makes a lot of sense. Patty Gasso said all year long, she's got a long bench of players, everyone competing for a spot. The ones that left are the ones that, even with all that competition, didn't really eat up a ton of innings in the circle or get too many opportunities. So it makes perfect sense. They were great members of the team. Get your national championship ring, have that experience, and maybe go somewhere else where you can get on the field and try to be that kind of leader and emulate what you saw this year. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think these are the situations that, like, this is why the portal's here, so that these young ladies have a chance to go and just do what they love, and that's actually play softball somewhere instead of work their butt off, practice every day, and just not be able to crack the lineup.
Yeah. You mentioned Jada Coleman jumping off the screen. Jada Coleman jumps off the screen. She jumps off the field. She jumps off the base. She jumps off the dugout. You know, she jumps everywhere. She is, as you said, a bundle of energy. I'm told that the four girls that left actually might be just the beginning. There could very well be more because, as we all know, say it with me, the transfer portal is always open, Ryan. Before we sign off, the College Football Playoff Management Committee, that's not the selection committee, this is the 11 commissioners and Notre Dame's AD, they reviewed the proposal of the CFP working group to expand the playoff to 12 teams. That came out officially just today. They had a little video, little audio press conference and everything. So, just to be clear, it's not a done deal, not officially, but even if it was, it's not happened any earlier than 2024. Bill Hancock called it the first step in a long process. Bob Bowlsby said there's a lot of vetting that still needs to be done. Hancock said it's an exciting time for college football, but I'm telling you guys, you can bet that every element of this proposal will be looked at through a microscope. The early version of this basically calls for the bracket to include the six highest-ranked conference champions plus the next six highest-ranked teams at large, per the selection committee, right? The selection committee actually decides the rankings. So apparently, if you can believe it, there's no automatic qualifiers, and there's no limit on the number of participants you can have from one conference. So what it sounds like to me is that the SEC is going to have six teams, and then you're going to see five conference champions and a group of five. I'm kidding. Sort of. Ryan, the top four teams get a bye. The 4 through 12, or the 5 through 12 teams are going to play games on campus at the higher-ranked team. So then they'll have the quarterfinals, semifinals, and the title game will all be at neutral sites. News is going to trickle out over this summer, starting with next week's Board of Managers meeting in Dallas. Ryan, my biggest takeaway, besides all those details about the bracket, is that Bill Hancock said, we just need time to review this with our folks back on campus. That's the key words, meaning this. They're going to try and push through a landmark playoff bracket, the biggest thing college football has ever done, and they're going to try to get feedback from, how do you feel about this? What do you think? What can we do for you? From 130 university presidents. Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that. You think this is going to happen, man?
Oh, well, I'm sure it'll be a speedy process. Everyone knows getting 130 university presidents in a room is just, you just snap your fingers and they're there. But yeah, I mean, it feels like it's going toward that. Personally, I don't know if we want to get into this. I'm pretty dejected by it. I fell in love with college football because of the urgency of the regular season, that feeling that if you stub your toe once, it is almost insurmountable, and you're not going to have that. On the flip side of that, this might be a lifeline for something like the Big 12. There's going to be 12 teams in there, and you're in Oklahoma. I mean, if you're going to get your cut of the playoff money anyway, if Texas, all you need Texas to do is be a top 12 team in the country, and you're going to get two cuts of the playoff money most years, maybe that's a, you know, an unforeseen circumstance, a lifeline to the Big 12. I've seen some people tell me that, well, this is going to make for better scheduling, better teams are going to be able to play more games. I think you could have accomplished that without basically killing your regular season. But what we're seeing, you look at Alabama and OSU scheduling, Clemson scheduling, we're seeing some more marquee matchups slated. So maybe all in all, this will be a good thing. I think it's moving that way, and I'm not a fan of it right now, but I guess let it play out 2 or 3 years and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we've seen teams get hot at the end of regular seasons, like Oklahoma last year. Oklahoma, I want to say in 2007, they got hot, won the Big 12, beat number one ranked Missouri. Remember that? And then they don't get in the BCS National Championship game, and they came out in the Fiesta Bowl and played flat against West Virginia. So they made an argument for being in, but then when they got, you know, the doors blown off in the bowl game, it was like, okay, shut up and sit down. Now with 12 teams in, I think you're going to see a lot of teams that get hot down the stretch be able to back their way into the playoff, and maybe they'll catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe there'll be some upsets, but we've seen this four-team bracket too often be three teams too many. Basically, you've got one team that's the class of college football, or even two, and the semifinals are blowouts. It's like, oh my God, now you're going to do it with 12 teams? That's one thing, and then I'll say it. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This is the first step in a term that is known as bracket creep. In other words, the bracket is creeping like crabgrass and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The bracket gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the regular season, as you said, matters less and less and less. I'm not going to proclaim that this is bad for college football, because there's about $1 billion that are to be made. So that part's good. And you mentioned that, the fact that, you know, everybody gets a bigger piece of the pie. Listen, that's great. But the best regular season in all of sports, guys, 12 games, 12 weeks, each one is an absolutely vital step for anyone that wants to win a national championship. The best regular season in all of sports is going to be diluted by the postseason, just like college basketball. Now, listen, we all love March Madness. But frankly, the college basketball regular season is pretty bland. And this is one of the reasons why there's so much emphasis put on the bracket. So I'm sad about that, too. I think we're starting to see that happen in football, and that would not be good for this sport. You can listen to the SI Sooners podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have an Amazon-enabled device, just tell it, Alexa, play the SI Sooners podcast, or go to our website, allsooners.com, click on the player, and listen on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. You can always watch the video version on my YouTube channel. I post it. That's John Hoover Media. For Ryan Chapman, I'm John Hoover. See you guys.